have taken all kind of notes. They have notebooks full of the word and assignments. You know, they have on their computer. They have documents, sections on their phone and on their computer that's loaded with notes, outlined with numbers and ABC order, scripture text, everything arranged and outlined beautifully. But they haven't prayed over these notes. They haven't confessed them. They haven't meditated, studied. And they haven't invited God in their prayer life and their study so that he could come in and with the power, with his power, he can open their minds, open the eyes of their understanding so they'll understand what it is they're reading and what they need to do.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Would you turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Recorded are these words: Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the theme, moving past your past. I want to change it a little bit, but moving past your past. One of the reasons why this word is so relevant to all of us today, even though we're talking about moving past those things that are behind us, is because of what real essence of truth that lies within not only the theme, but within the text that touches each and every one of our lives. It's important, no matter who you are, where you are, what you are, or what you've done, to understand that you'll never ever become, nor do, or accomplish what God fully intends for you to do if you continue to hold on to the past. Now, the past has played a significant role in the development of our lives in one way or another. But here is the truth about the past. The past is past. Its role, its function has already given to us, yielded to us, what nuggets, what benefits it was going to do when it was present with us. But now that it's past, it's no longer in a present mode of operation, and therefore it is in the grave of time.
Amen. All right.
The grave of time. And all that you can get from the past are memories.
Yes, sir.
Of the past. Cannot relive the past because the past is not alive.
Uh-huh.
And there are some interesting things that I think hinders and hold most of us back in our lives because of issues from the past. Matter of fact, most times the devil haunts us with stuff from the past. When we think about the mistakes we've made, it has happened in the past. When we recognize the decisions that many of us have made that has placed us in positions we're not necessarily liking, it happened when we made those decisions in the past. And yes, the past has given to us opportunities that many of us have messed up on, many of us have made mistakes with, many of us have not seized and gotten the best of. But the truth of the matter is, it's past. And so when we begin to understand what function now the past has for us, we see very little other than historical value. In other words, what you should have learned from the past is what don't work and what does. Not to repeat the past over again. And so when we begin to understand this, Paul is talking to the brethren in Philippi, and he's making mention some interesting things because Paul is one of the most strongest and sincerest saints in that day. He's one who is committed and sold out to the Lord. And so he brings some interesting things into view. And Paul is one of the most committed believers in his day. And so for him to make a statement like this, when he says brethren, he's talking about believers. Not talking to the world, he's talking to believers. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I count not myself to have laid hold. I count not myself to have accomplished this yet. In other words, he's saying, I count not myself to have not yet reached perfection. And for Paul to say this gives us a hint of the reality of what he wants us to understand about things of the past and things in our future. That the best of what God has for us in spite of the past is before us. In spite of what we've done, in spite of where we may be, in spite of our faults and our failures, in spite of our accomplishments and attainments, he's saying that the best is ahead of you. So he says, I have not reached the place of perfection where I have even laid hold on what I'm telling you about. Now, that's a real man who can be honest with you and tell you, Listen, I'm not talking to you like I've already done what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you what we need to do. He said, but as it relates to one thing, he said, I want to be clear about this. He says, it's important that you understand, though I have not apprehended, but this one thing I do or I have accomplished. Well, now, if you're going to talk about what you didn't do, it's all right to talk about what you have done. Because, see, there is a balance. And when we speak about life, we need to speak of life in terms of balance. There's nothing that's all good, and there's nothing that's all bad. There is a reality in the fact that we find a balance in the decisions and the choices that we made. And so he says, but this one thing I do. Well, Paul, what is this one thing that you do that's so important? Forgetting those things which are behind. Listen, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, this mostly relates to his accomplishments and attainments because he is one who has a record like none other in the New Testament. If anybody is worthy of bragging, it's Paul. He's not talking about forgetting his sins. He's not talking about forgetting his faults, his mess-ups, and those things like that. He's really focusing more on what he has accomplished and done right so that he could use that as a place of resting and a place of saying, I've made it and accomplished, and I no longer need to continue to give my best and my all. He's trying to make clear, listen, I've done some wrong things, some bad things. I'm not telling you I'm perfect. He's saying, but what I am telling you is there's a whole lot more ahead of me than is behind me. And see, I don't care how good life has been in the past, God always reserves the best life before you and in your future. Now, here's what I want you to know. If you've had a good life thus far and you can really praise and thank God for, you need to get excited because you haven't even seen the best yet. Don't keep holding on to what's good when better is looking you in the face. See, some of us miss God because we've gotten a little taste of good. And for some reason or another, we don't think we're going to get no better than this. So we hold on for dear life to good. Good. Good is good, but that's not all. I mean, how many of you have ever had the experience where you've experienced good? And man, it was the best thing you had ever had at that point, and you thought it would never get better. Somebody actually told you, you'll never find. I don't know what y'all talking about. I just said, you'll never find. But wherever you're going with that, that's right. And they removed from you what was good to you. But what they didn't understand was God was working things out for you because good wasn't good enough. So God had better. And you thought, like they said, you would never find better than the good, only to find that better showed up real soon after good left. All right. Y'all can get quiet if you want to, but I'm going to talk truth. And here's what you need to understand. If better gets to acting a fool, best. Well, I'm going to go on and preach the text. Don't ever limit your blessings to the past. You remember Jesus went to the wedding of Cana. His mother was there. She was serving. The wine went out. She told Jesus' disciples, "Ooh, look, I'm glad you're here, Jesus. Look, we done run out of wine." Jesus said, "What does that have to do with me?" Listen, she didn't answer anything as this. She just told all of the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." She walked away and left it in Jesus' hand. Jesus got them to fill up 6 water pots. And Jesus performed his first miracle, turning water into wine, at the marriage feast of Cana. Now, when the governor of the feast, who was the one who made sure all things were in order, tasted the wine that was then made, he came and he made the comment. He said, "Most folk serve their best first. And when men have well drunken, then they pull out the cheap stuff. But you have saved your best until now." Until now. Now is in the ever-present tense. Until now. He didn't say you save your best till last. You know why he didn't say last? Because last would have signified there ain't no more when that's gone. But when that is all gone, he's still making some more now. Y'all ain't caught that. I'm trying to help you understand. He's trying to tell us God always saves the best till now, not till last. So if I understand that in its context, then I know that my best is now, but it's not over now. When now becomes later, I will have better now. When now becomes later, I will have best now. In other words, God keeps saving our now till the present moment. And so he makes clear to us that we must understand putting those things which are behind is an important step to moving forward. He says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now here's what you need to do, because we've got to reset our minds to understand and to operate in a mode of successive steps that brings to us success. First thing is, stop looking behind you. Ask Lot's wife. Looking behind you only makes you salty. You'll catch that on your way home. Looking behind you keeps your focus on what has been. Former days, former joys, former blessings, former privileges. Listen, do you realize, I don't care how successful you were in the past, God is more interested in your future than your past? Former glories have held more folk at bay and arrested more folk from getting into their future than anything else. Looking at things that were what they could have been and what they were at what you consider to be the apex of your past does not help you in your present nor prepare you for your future. Learn to let the past be the past. Put more focus and more emphasis and more energy on both the present and the future. In other words, every decision you make from now on should be a decision that's preparing your future. Stop being bitter about the past and the things that you've done in the past that's got you hung up right here, because if you keep on being hung up on the past, you most likely won't move from here to where God wants you to be. You keep talking about why this is happening to you, why that is happening to you, why other folk are passing you by, why it look like other folk keep on getting blessing, but you keep being hung up in the past. You still mad with somebody that did you something 20 years ago. And they're looking good, doing good. Matter of fact, they probably even forgotten about what you mad about. You see them, they make you sick. You can't stand them. Why? Because you're bitter holding on to all of the stuff of the past. And them folk are better for having let it go and moved on. And part of having letting it go was probably letting you go and going on to better things. When you get bitter and hold on to the past, you hold your blessings at bay from God. Remember that. Remember that. So what you need to do is restructure your thinking. Update your mind. Have a new philosophy about the past. I will leave the past behind and cleave to the future before. I will leave the past behind and cleave to the future before. I will leave the past behind and cleave to the future before. Listen, when you cleave to the future before, listen, it's only because you are reaching for something you got a glimpse of. And it's so good to you, you can't just sit here and wait. You're trying to reach with all of your extension to get it to come sooner than later. That's because your focus is on what's before you. This is placed in the understanding of a runner in a race. Coaches will tell runners all day long, don't look behind you. When you're running, don't look back to see who's behind you and how close they are behind you. You got to stay focused on what is before you. Listen, I got news for you. If anything behind you is better than you, it'll pass you. You ain't got to look behind you. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Keep moving forward. Listen at this. So he makes clear that all of those things are in order. He has not put the past in the present, and in the present, he's reaching forth unto those things which are before. So now what does that mean? It means three things. One, that he himself in reaching forth is getting in place. Amen. He is finding his place. Somebody say, finding my place. Finding my place is reaching forth. And listen, not getting in where you fit in. That term sounds good, but it's inappropriate for people who have a purpose. The only way you're going to fulfill your purpose is if you find your place. Your place is reserved for you so that you can do what God has called you to do. You are called to do your specific part in a specific place. So you got to find your place to do it in. Listen, I'm a preacher, but I'm a pastor. Now, as a preacher, I can preach anywhere. But as a pastor, I have a place in His Greater King David Church. So if I were anywhere else on Sunday morning, listen, I would be preaching, but I wouldn't be in my place. So here's what you got to understand. As a pastor, when I recognize that I have a place, it's a specific place that God has ordained. If he has ordained, then he has ordered me to operate in the place he has ordained for me. The greatest effect I will ever have, the greatest effect you will ever have, is when you operate in your place. We have doctors here, surgeons here, etc. If they operate any place other than the place where you should operate at, it may be helpful, but then again, it may be detrimental. Because everything you need is in the place where you're supposed to operate. Lord, I wish I had a doctor saying amen. Listen. I don't care where you are. You have to find your place. Again, say, find my place. But not only must I find my place, but I must focus on my prize. Focus on my prize. Why is that so important? Because when I reach forth, reaching forth suggests that there are actions to be taken as I move toward what I'm going for, the prize, so that I can focus on my prize. But that's not only the things that I should do, find my place and focus on my prize, but ultimately to fulfill my purpose. Fulfill my purpose. You see, my brothers and sisters, I cannot fulfill my purpose if I'm not focusing on my prize. And if I'm not focusing on my prize, then obviously I have not found my place. Because when I find my place, my prize is going to be the thing that excites me and that energizes me and that gets me ready for and that makes me feel good and makes me say, when I accomplish this thing, what a wonderful day it will be. And so I'm going to fulfill my purpose because I want what God has placed in front of me. Then notice what he goes on to say. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. Listen, this suggests that his energy, his excitements, his focus, everything that he has within him is forward moving toward the prize, forward moving, focusing in fulfilling the purpose that God has for his life. I press toward the mark. Now listen, the mark as they were running would be the white line and the ribbon. If they were too far to see the line, they looked for the ribbon. But as they got closer, they started pressing forward, and they were able to see the white line beneath the right ribbon. And so they would start leaning forward as they were running to give their bodies more momentum, and they would press against the air and give themselves every inch of momentum toward the mark.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.